Okay, let's jump right in. So, true confession, is a confession false? I guess it could be. There are times April and I will, if we're having a heated discussion, April will say the words, "You're not hearing me." Right? So then you're at a crossroads, because then you can go, "You're right, I'm not," which that's hard to do, right? Or you can go, "Yes, I am." And then you know what comes next, right? What did I say? And then your brain's scrambling to try and put the pieces of words you heard together, hoping you got it right. And you know, inevitably, you have it wrong, right? You get it wrong. And then you just prove the other person's point. And it's almost like sometimes when discussions get difficult, that there's almost like it can be a blockage that you can't hear the other person. Try as you might, you can't hear the other person. You know, you think it's just you, or you think it's what's all this, but it affects just about every person. We've all experienced this. You know what I'm talking about, too, about having a difficult time to be able to hear what the other person's saying. It's a blockage, and it affects. It doesn't just affect just family relationships. It affects politics, right? Do you hear politicians talking? Do they actually listen to each other? You know, listen to a debate. They're not listening, right? It affects work relationships between neighbors in the church, the community, you name it. It doesn't matter. And the other thing, too, this isn't like a problem that we have today because we're so connected to technology and all the social, you know, we got all this busyness going on. This is a human relational problem that exists, that when things get tense or tight, people have a hard time listening to the other person. It's just one of those real challenges. And the glitch we have is differentiating between ears and hearing and listening. These things on the side of your head, they don't actually listen, right? They don't actually hear. Like, you cut those off and you would still hear. Hearing, you know, we have the inner workings of the ear and that, and we actually hear not with, it's actually our brain that does the hearing, right? It's actually the brain that does that. Listening is different from hearing. You may be hearing me right now, but your mind may be at the mall or what you're going to do tomorrow or something. And then you're not listening. Listening is pondering what the person's saying and considering it. It's a whole deeper understanding. And usually we get hearing and listening, we equate them as if they're the same thing, and they're not the same thing. This metanoia and roundtables we're going to be going into as leaders is going to be a challenge for us. Why? It's not because of the subject matter, and it's not because we just don't know how to listen. It's the fact that we don't know how to listen to each other. Well, we do know how, but again, we're going to be very susceptible to having that blockage where we can't hear the other person. So to help you understand how things are going to unfold, metanoia is one gathering that's taking place over a period of a day and a half. That is a talking of human flourishing. Overlapping that a bit on the edge, the round tables are going to start. And the leaders will gather together on the Saturday who are going to be participating in round tables. And they'll lay the foundation for the discussions. Over the next 9 to 10 weeks, the leaders and pastors of Cross Canada will be broken up into small groups. And it'll be an online forum where they'll see a video teaching and then answer a few questions, and people can read what different people's answers are. But small groups, 8, 10, 12 people, something like that. I'm not sure how exactly. And then during that time as well, the national team's going to be listening to some experts, listening to some other voices, just to get some more information and stuff, and that's what's going to be going on. And that's how things are going to unpack. In January, the national team, which is 28, 30 people, they're going to talk amongst each other. They're saying it's going to be a vote, but they're going to see, are we going to shift from our current position that we hold? It hasn't been solidified how that's going to look yet, but they know they need to bring this thing to a conclusion. That's how things are going to unpack. Now, whether or not we are actually able to listen to each other, not just hear, that's going to be the real challenge for us. That takes maturity. That takes, man, we got to really, really try. Like, it's going to be work. I know it's going to be work for me. Well, how do I know that? April's right when she goes, "You're not hearing me," right? I have a propensity to block out what other people are saying. Scripture and Jesus address this very issue of listening very clearly. An example in the Old Testament is right here. It's in Proverbs 1. Let the wise listen, right? This is speaking about the Proverbs. Let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these Proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. What I want you to hear from that verse is that encapsulates what listening means. That there encapsulates it. It's talking about hearing something, bringing it into your mind, listening, pondering, thinking, coming to an understanding. That's what that is saying. Fairly pointed, but that's what listening is. Listening is not just having something playing in the background. Now, let me just make a comment. You know how we now have audiobooks, and that includes the Bible. You can put the Bible on audio. Just because you put the Bible on audio, maybe it's playing in your car or whatever, you may be hearing Scripture, but you're not actually listening to it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? Right? It can be background. And just because it's playing doesn't mean it's settling in. And it doesn't just matter of settling into the heart as if it comes in here and it just changes the heart. What Scripture calls us to is to listen, to ponder, to think about it, and apply it to our lives. Then you've listened. So you can play Proverbs on your audiobook, but if you're just ripping through 1, 2, 3 chapters at a time, the good Hebrew rabbis would say, you're not really listening. Not really. I hope you're tracking with me here. I think you are. It's the same reason why I gave up doing the reading the Bible in a year plan. And I gave that up. I used to do it. It was the Bible in a year and you had the plan. The reason I gave that up is because what happened after a little while was I would open the book and I would flip through to see how much I had to read that day. And that's what was happening. That's what I noticed. I'm going, oh, really? What's the point? Right? And I was like, no, I want to understand. And so I'm going to slow down. I'm not in a race to try and read the Bible in a year. You know, I don't want to do that. I want to taste it. I want to let it sit in my mouth. That's what I want to do. So I gave that up. Now understand, audio Bible, reading through the Bible, not wrong. There's good that comes out of that, but don't confuse it with listening. Please don't do that. Jesus was a very astute rabbi. If you pay attention to the words in the Gospels, if you pay attention to how he can tell a story and his parables, I'm sure he thought them out ahead of time, but his parables were brilliant. When you look at those, look at his individual stories he would tell and the points he would make, he was a brilliant man, brilliant, brilliant man. And he called people just not to hear him, but to listen to his words, and he used that word. There's one passage I'm going to point you to, and that's Mark chapter 4. And in Mark 4, Jesus tells the parable of the farmer that scatters the seed. I'm sure you've heard of it before. You know, there's different soils, and so, you know, different things. And he compares that to the word being scattered, and depending on a person's heart, how they receive it, that's what the parable is about. We're not going to go into that today. But how he ends that parable is with these words. Anyone with ears to hear, got ears, I can hear, should listen and understand. And then he quotes from Isaiah 6, 9 to 10. He does a quote from Isaiah, which says, when they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. What he was talking about there, you hear me say the parables. Do you get it? Have you thought about it? Have you considered it? Are you letting it change your life? That's what he's getting at there. The disciples didn't get it. And Jesus, out of his compassion and grace for his disciples, he explains the parable to them. And again, he concludes with the words, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then a couple verses down, he says these words. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, right, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That's in Mark 4, 24, 25. Those are powerful words, what he's saying. Pay close attention. He's saying, are you listening? Are you hearing me? That's what Jesus is saying. Now, the other question is, how does one move from just hearing to listening? And the Greek word that's used in the New Testament about listening is described as hearing with the mind's ear. Listening with the mind's ear, not just hearing it like muzak, like you hear in the elevator, right? So I tried to think of what you could compare listening to, real listening. And the only thing I could think of was food and wine. Those are the two things. If you want to know what it means to listen well, food and wine. Food. Henry Ford. He's the guy who came up with a Model T Ford, right? Who brought the production line for cars, right? When you read his biography, one of the things he was known for, before he would hire someone to bring them onto his team, you know, the executive level, not for people on the line or that, but for people he was going to bring onto his team, before he would say, yes, you're hired, he'd take them out for lunch or supper. And he'd watch. He'd pay attention to how they eat. And if food was served and you grabbed the salt and pepper and shook it on your food, wouldn't hire you. Right. Well, by the way, this is short funny. I got busted on that about a week ago by April. I think she made shepherd's pie, served it, sat down, grabbed the pepper, put it on, and she says, how do you know that needs pepper? I guess Henry Ford wouldn't have fired me. His rationale for it was, you've already made up your mind. You won't even taste the food. You won't even take the time to taste the food, see what it's like. I don't want you on my team. You already have your mind made up. Oh, that's pretty drastic. At least tell me what the interview test is, right? So be careful. Next time somebody offers you to take you out for supper, what are they watching for, right? You never know. But if you really want to learn how to listen, sommelier, wine steward, the person who knows how to taste wine properly, that's probably the best example you could learn about how to listen well with each other, but also how to listen well when it comes to learning what Scripture teaches you, listening to God. The sommelier has it down. Now, so what do they do? What is the steps to tasting wine? But you know what they do? There's all reason to everything they do. They'll take the glass that's going to hold the wine, they take the bottle, they'll tilt the glass, and they pour the bottle, right? Slowly, slow pour into the glass. And there's a reason why they tilt the glass instead of just jug, 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 right? There's a reason why they tilt everything. It's so they can begin to smell the aroma. That's what they want to do. They want to begin to smell it. Now, I did skip one step they take. Before they start all of that process, they actually come with a clean palate. They don't want to just have finished eating peas and fish or whatever, right? And then go and taste wine because it's going to be colored, right? It's going to be mixed with other flavors. So they come with a clean palate. So there's nothing interfering with the smelling and the tasting. Once they've poured it, apparently what they do is they take the glass and they'll hold it up to a light and observe the color. If it's like a bright red or a burgundy, that's a young wine, apparently, so they say. If it's a darker hue and there's like a brownish tinge around the edge of the surface of the wine, it's aged. It's older wine. Who knew, right? Then they'll swirl it. And the reason they want to swirl it is they want to release some of the aroma, some of the nuances in the wine. And then you'll notice they'll put their nose right over the glass of wine. And what it is, they'll breathe in. They want to note, I guess, things like the sweetness, the acidity, fruitiness, and all of that. But then to cap it all off, then they take a sip. And they're fairly adamant that when you taste, don't gulp. Sip. Let it coat your tongue. Notice the different flavors there, the spices, whatever is in that wine. And then depending on if they're going to be tasting other wines, they'll either spit it out or they'll swallow it, is what they do. What has that got to do with listening? Everything. If you drink wine, pay attention next time you go to drink your wine, that this is how you listen, right? When you listen to someone, when you're going to be talking with someone, come with a clean palate. Take your opinions and thoughts and how you've made up your mind, set it aside. You won't get rid of it, but just set it aside. Now, is that easy or hard? For me, that is way too hard. I'd rather do a tough mutter, right? Because it's like, how do I get rid of this? How do I set it aside? But it's coming with a clean palate. Give the person your full attention, right? That's hard to do sometimes, but you give them your full attention. It values them so you can really hear what they're saying and understand the topic. Consider feelings. What do I mean by that? When people start to talk and they're sharing something with you, and they say, this is how it makes me feel, pay attention to that. Because whatever it is you're talking about, and they have a feeling that comes along with that, that is an important cue. Listen to it. And feelings are legitimate. Validate the feelings. It's not a right feeling or a wrong feeling. It's how I'm feeling at the time. When they're replacing the shingles on the roof over the fireside hall there, that, you know, that really steep pitch, and I saw the guys up there, and they had ropes and just standing on little ledges, not a chance you would get me up there. You would have to anesthetize me and drag me up. I would not go up there, because if you put me up on something about heights, I can tell you how I feel. Scared is one, petrified. It's not a right or wrong feeling. It's how I'm feeling at the time. So pay attention to people's feelings as you're listening. Ask clarifying questions. Is this what I'm hearing you say? Because sometimes a person can say something and you interpret it differently than what they've even said, right? Slow down, listen, ask the questions, get to know. Ponder what they've said. You know, just as sommelier, as they take the wine and they not only smell it, but then they taste it and they just let it sit there in their mouth. That's pondering. That's taking your time and listening to what the person has said without making a judgment call on it. And listening. That's what this is all about. Ponder. Now, this is all through Scripture, right from the beginning, right through the end, has these little things about listening, 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 about how people didn't listen, didn't listen, didn't listen, didn't hear, didn't consider. James, who wrote this little wee book in the New Testament, he says these words, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." Quick to listen. Oh my gosh. I don't know about you. Me? I can be quick to speak, slow to listen. But James says no. Why? Because generally when we reverse what James says, when we're quick to speak, quick to get angry, that's what breaks down relationships. That's what puts up dividing walls between people. James is saying, do the opposite. Be quick to listen to the other person, what they have to say. You don't have to respond right away. Ponder it. Respect them. Validate them. I believe that we are wired to listen. I believe that we are. And the reason I believe that is because we have been created in God's image. And God is the epitome of what it means to be a good listener. God hears us when we cry out to him. He listens. Do you believe that God listens to your feelings? That he listens to what you're experiencing? That he listens to your doubts? Do you believe that he cares? He cares. And if there's any book in the Bible that demonstrates that, it's the book of Psalms, where David knows he can cry out to God, and other writers of the Psalms, they know they can cry out to God, say what they're feeling, what they're experiencing, share their joys, share their doubts, and they know God hears. God listens to us. And God responds. That's why I look back on my life and I can say to God, God, you've never done me wrong. And a lot of people I've heard have said the same thing. I heard them say the same thing. You know, people have let me down, but God has never done me wrong, because God cares. He loves us. He listens. My prayer for the, not just for the church, for myself, for my being. Lord, help me. Gosh, because I'm now praying, God, like I'm running out of time soon. I got to get this thing nailed down. Help me, teach me how to be a good listener. You know, the funny thing I was thinking, you can take courses on how to be a good public speaker, right? There's tons of courses out there, how to be a good public speaker. Have you ever heard of a course, how to be a good listener? Have you? It's your entire program? A degree in listening? Really? Does it? Does it?
They do, yeah.
Bring it here. I need to sign up. That should probably be the course couples should take before they get married. Get your degree in listening, then we'll get married. How about that? That's good. That's awesome. You've taken it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And did you pass? Okay. Okay. Oh, I never know. I'm still working on my grade, right? David writes in Psalm 55, morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice. God hears you. God hears you. And we are just conduits for one another to allow the Holy Spirit to come and minister in a very real and tangible way. Bless you as you go about your day. And my prayer is that your next conversation you have with someone, that the response you'll get from them is, wow, thank you so much for listening to me. I really hope that's what you hear. I really do. So bless you guys. Have a great rest of the day and a great week, okay?